flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollAndBranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. If you're listening to 1120, you can do better than that. Flip over to 98.7 FM. If that's not good enough for you, just download the Odyssey app. It has perfect sound. You can pause it and rewind it. You can podcast. You can send us messages, all sorts of stuff you can do with the Odyssey app. Bernie Miklas joins us. Hey, Bern.
What's going on? Good to be with you, Dave.
Good to be with you, buddy. Thanks for going to CAP with us this week. A lot of fun. I want to try to kind of redo one of our conversations we had here. I don't know if it'll work or not, but I thought it was an absolutely fascinating, fun night.
Listen, I really enjoyed it, and I mean this with 100% sincerity. One of the cool things about, you know, me coming to KMOX is it gave me a chance. It's giving me a chance to get to know you. I mean, I knew of you. I knew of your excellent career and your prominence in the St. Louis media market and all that good stuff. And it's all well deserved. But you and I really did not know each other at all personally.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that these conversations on air, but and that dinner, you know, you're like me. You share. You open up. You speak about things other people when they talk about, you know, personal things. I've really, 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 really enjoyed getting to know you. I mean, that I can't stress that enough.
Thank you, Pat.
Great.
That's very,
yep.
Totally mutual. That's the quietest I've ever heard Wheeler between you and me and that you and me and that steak.
Yeah, I got to tell you.
Absolutely.
Well, I told Dave this too, like afterwards, because we were texting about it. I'm like, I just was listening to all these great stories because you and I have known each other for a long time, but it's almost always been in that work setting. Right. It's always
right.
At the radio station and your show's ending and mine's beginning, or we're at the ballpark and you're writing a column and I'm just farting around waiting for the post game show. You know, like there's always been that, but it's not been a lot of just like that scenario. And I was just having a good time.
No, it was great. It really was. I enjoyed it. And what a great restaurant, too. So we'll have to do it again next time. I'm picking up the tab.
The cool things about Bernie's stories, I mean, they're entertaining and they're funny, but it humanizes larger than life figures.
Yeah.
You know, telling stories about La Russa and stories about players and just really relatable human. He's just these guys. They're just dudes. They're just guys. You know, they're next level. Some of them geniuses, but you get right down to it. They're just human beings. And those stories really, really elucidated that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, they also have, just like we all do, they have like really, really great strengths, but they also have real true vulnerabilities and weaknesses that they have to overcome constantly. And that applies to all the great coaches and managers I've covered, from, you know, from Earl Weaver to Whitey Herzog, to Tom Landry, to Tony La Russa, you know, on and on and on. You know, just they are humans, right? And so it's what I've always respected about all of them and others that I've covered. Dick Vermeil is another one, of course, is that the way they're able to overcome their own flaws or weaknesses or maybe their bad inclinations that would take their confidence down. The way they can like fight through those things and still, when it comes down to tapping into their strengths and their confidence, they find it. That's the one thing about great leaders I think I've learned during my career watching them.
I want to ask you guys a form of a question I asked you the other night at dinner, which is basically you have players who feel a responsibility to hand down the knowledge, you know, Ozzie to Mason Wynn, Mason Wynn to whoever follows him, and coaches, you know, so that, you know, let me tell Matheny about this or that. But I think that sports writers and sportscasters have a similar duty, and I was just curious how it happened. Do you take each other under your wing? Do you become a mentor to someone? And your answer was really interesting, and it's not one size fits all.
No, when I was a really young sports writer, I was privileged to be around some real veterans who really knew their stuff and they were really respected within the business. And I didn't ask questions all that much. I listened because I would hang around with them and I'd be on the bus going to events and I'd be at the hotel bar having a beer, be in the press box when they're telling their stories and everyone's laughing or they're telling serious stories. And I would just take it all in. And once I got to know some of these fine old veterans, and they got to know me and they were comfortable with me and kind of like me, you know, then I would ask them some questions and they would offer great advice. It was kind of like a thing by observing and osmosis that I learned a lot about how to make my way in the business. Now, on the other hand, when I became one of those veterans, I've always been there for younger writers, broadcasters who think I have something to say that could benefit them. I mean, I would have, you know, Mizzou journalism students when I was a sports writer, a full-time sports writer, you know, just kind of following me around like little puppy dogs. But I treated them great. I took them to dinner. I told stories. I answered all their questions. And it's because this is such a cliche, but veteran media people invested in me in that way. And I felt I owed it to the generation that came after me to invest in them by showing them that I care and I'm there for them if they need anything at all in terms of advice.
Yeah, I think it works, you know, it's, you know, in that setting, it most of it is observational, right? Because when you think about Bernie, I'm sure you would, you know, co-sign on this, that For a lot of the time, it's kind of what I just described with you and I. When you're together with those people, you guys are both working. So it's hard to, like, stop in the middle of work and ask a whole bunch of questions without driving somebody crazy. It's later on when you have those times where you're having pizza after the game or it's spring training and we're all gathered hanging out at a night spot. You know, things along those lines where you would then get to the more casual conversations where you can ask questions. But so much is just being around people and being around as many people as you can.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV Plus, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
No, I agree. And you never know what setting it's going to come in. There was one time, you know, I forget what the event was. I honestly do because I was on the road so often. But, you know, I happened to be sitting towards the back of the bus. It might have been an Olympics, back of the bus. And to some people listening, they won't know, like, who I'm talking about. But I'm sitting there and I was like 2 or 3 seats ahead of towards the, where they were in the back. And I'm listening to Red Smith and Jim Murray and Ed Pope of the New York or the Miami Herald.
Yeah.
And like Red Smith, arguably the greatest sports writer ever lived. Jim Murray, the wittiest and sharpest sports writer ever lived. Ed Pope, who represented like the working man columnist and knew everybody, everything, you know, kind of the grinder, you know. So I'm listening to those three guys talk about this or that, this or that, this or that. And I mean, that's something I would pay like $1,000 for, you know. And they were all very kind to me, and I'll be eternally grateful to those late greats.
I actually have that. Ed Pope is part of one of my stories. when I was in college, obviously he was at the Miami Herald. I know I've told you this before, Bernie. I think I've told you too, Dave. Like one of the duties I had early on in college, when I was just a young, you know, ninth string bullpen catcher, I caught some bullpens for Jim Palmer when he was trying to make a comeback with the Orioles after he was already in the Hall of Fame. So I'm catching, he's like 47 years old or something like that, 45, 46, 47 years old. And I'm doing this a couple times here and there. And one of the times, there's a whole bunch of the sports writers sitting in the dugout. And Ed Pope's one of them. I forget, there are a couple guys from Baltimore, too, because it was right before spring training, which was right up the road at Fort Lauderdale, if I remember at the time, if I'm remembering correctly. And they call me over and like, hey, kid, you mind if we ask you some questions about what's going, you know, how's he looking and all that stuff? I'm like, you can ask me whatever you want. And he was the one that I remember asking me, basically, how's he look? Like, how's Jim Palmer look? And I'm like, he looks like a Hall of Famer to me. Like, it's literally the only thing that I could think of to say. And he said, what's your name? He's like, you're going to be okay at this. What's your major? And I told him broadcast journalism. He goes, all right, you're going to be just fine.
How did he look? Like a 47-year-old Jim Palmer?
Yeah, not put it this way. Better command than any pitcher I'd ever seen in my life. I had never caught for somebody that could put it where they wanted to the way that he could.
Mm-hmm.
But every guy on our team threw harder than he did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, it was at that point, you know, he was probably throwing 78, 79 miles an hour. He did buckle me, though. He buckled me because he signaled for a curveball. And you remember, Bernie, that's one of the best curveballs of all time, Jim Palmer's. And it started off when he let go of it like it was going to be up at about my head level. So I started to stand up out of the crouch, and then I am catching it off the top of my shoes because it broke that much, and I just look like a complete idiot. He's like, kid, that's a curveball. And I'm like, Mr. Palmer, I've never seen one like that before.
That's cute.
Great.
Vern, who you like for the weekend playoffs?
Well, I'm a numbers guy, as you guys know, and let me just pull up something really quick, and I apologize because I thought I had it here, and I'm wasting time, but it is right here. This round, the conference championship round, really favors home teams. And there's a different ways to chop it up. But the top seeds in conference championships are 20-5. And we're talking about straight up wins, 20-5 since 2003. The home team of conference championship games have gone 17-5 straight up over the last 11 seasons. The Chiefs have also covered the point spread in 9 of their last 11 postseason games. I think Josh Allen and the Bills are terrific. I just think that the Mahomes and the Chiefs will find a way. And a lot of it has to do with those trends that I just told you. I mean, History tells us the home teams have a real advantage, and top seeds who happen to host the game have a real advantage. And when one of the teams involved, where you could put both of those numbers right by the Chiefs' name because it applies to them, then you factor in their championship pedigree, something Buffalo's still trying to get to. I'm not going to say it's an easy decision, but it's a logical decision to conclude that the Chiefs will find a way to win it.
Yeah, I got to agree. I mean, they're the team that always figures it out in the biggest moment. Nothing scares them. If it's weird, if they've played a bad game, they're fine in the fourth quarter. They're always calm. They have a great defensive coordinator in Steve Spagnuolo, and they change things up quite a bit when they need to. Mahomes is Mahomes. And, I think Buffalo, it sounds like they're going to be missing a pretty key defensive player this weekend. I just don't know how you pick against Kansas City in this situation.
And the other little nugget, and again, we all agree that this hasn't been the most explosive Chiefs offense, although I think it's probably getting better at the right time. But, Patrick Mahomes in the postseason in his career, when he is not playing a team quarterback by Tom Brady, he's 16-1. So, I mean, come on, right? Josh Allen is 4-1 against Mahomes in the regular season, but this is money time.
Yeah.
And Allen is outstanding, but the fact is he's 0-3 against Mahomes in the postseason. I would not be surprised if they win it. Don't get me wrong. But, man, you got just like going to the racetrack, you go with the winning pedigree as long as the horse is still strong enough, you go with it.
And what do the Commanders need to do to keep up with the Eagles?
Well, you know, the Eagles don't look right to me, but in terms of their offense, and that's because of Jalen Hurts, who doesn't look right. So I don't know what kind of, since his concussion, I don't know what kind of passing game they'll have. And the point I bring that up is because, you know, Saquon Barkley is a madman. I mean, he just is a big play, explosive play guy. He's had one of the great running back seasons in the history of the league. And he did a lot of damage against the Commanders this year. But if Hurts in the passing game isn't firing really well, you know, the Washington team can really stack the box and at least try to slow Barkley down. The other thing about the Eagles, why I don't trust them, is, you know, they had a 4-0 turnover advantage when they played Green Bay a couple of weeks ago, and they needed a couple of late field goals to put that game away. A 4-0 turnover edge. Then last week, the Rams are coming in from L.A. It's in the freezing cold. It's in the snow. It's in the slush. It's in the freezing rain. And again, the Eagles had a 2-0 turnover advantage, yet they had to hang on to win that game by 6. So this is what I'm going to do. The Eagles have the best defense in the league, and they have Barkley. And Washington's defense is the weakest unit still left in the playoffs. I think the Eagles will win this game. Jaden Daniels is unbelievable. I think they'll win this game, but I do think from a gambling perspective, I would take Washington in the 6 points.
Some construction workers discovered a 200-year-old bottle and thought it might have some wine or beer in it. Turns out it was filled with pee.
Hope they didn't try to drink it.
Probably by
like old pee?
200-year-old construction workers. What do you mean old pee?
Like, was it an old bottle that had, like, newer pee in it, or was it
now,
like,
why would that happen?
I don't know. If somebody finds a bottle and they're like, I got to pee.
And how would you establish that?
That's a good question.
Thank you. Get your peeologist on it.
Stumped me with that one.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch teamed up with Totino's Pizza Rolls for a new pizza-flavored cereal. It tastes like pizza, but has the Cinnadust on it. You know,
no.
Yes.
No.
Thank you. No.
No.
No. Pizza-flavored cereal.
Rejected.
Yeah, I'll try it. Why not?
Well, because you don't eat it with milk.
Yeah.
Wouldn't milk be a killer for that?
Yeah, can we just call it like a chip or something? Because it's not really cereal.
Yeah, eat it dry.
If it's yeah, no, I understand
people. You know what it is? It's combos. This is just combos.
No, you're not wrong.
No, combos are good.
Combos are so good.
Only one NFL player weighed over 300 pounds in 1970. By 2014, there were over 400 who weighed over 300. Now it's over 500, which is more than 20% of the league.
I would have thought it was more, too.
You remember, it's limited by position.
Yeah.
You're only either a defensive tackle or an offensive lineman, so there's only so many of those jobs. But what's interesting, remember the 85 Bears, like the refrigerator was a big deal because he was like 310 pounds.
Yes.
Now guys are 380.
Jeez. This is so cool. Bob Marley gave a songwriting credit on No Woman, No Cry to a man named Vincent Ford who ran the soup kitchen in Jamaica. It was his way of making sure it would be funded forever.
Nice.
Wow.
Is that the coolest?
Mm-hmm.